This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne, and this is the place you come to. This is the only place you come to for local talk.
Absolutely.
In the Mid-Willamette Valley. Hear about what's going on and who's doing it and why they're doing it and how great it's going to be or what we need to watch out for.
Right. Right?
Dave, I heard in the last half hour here on KYKN, you promising the audience that this was going to turn into rain.
It is.
The snow is driving me. It's completely uncalled for. I do remember coaching a Little League game in the second week of June at one point, and we got some light snow.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's unheard of. It's just unwelcome.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
It'll be sloppy and wet, and then about an hour from now, it'll be rain.
It'll be rain.
It'll be too warm for the snow. I can't guarantee it, but that's what they're saying.
All right.
According to the National Weather Service.
Oh, okay. We'll blame it on them, because the weathermen, they're always right.
It's the only job you can be wrong 90% of the time and still have your job.
That and talk show host. Okay. So anyway, here you are, Newsmakers. Thanks for joining us at the noon hour every Monday through Friday. We do have a guest today. She came at my invitation. I'm so happy to have her here and to talk about what she does. It's really important. We're going to talk about CASA of Marion County. That's court-appointed special advocates. I'm going to try to have to say that without stuttering throughout the rest of the hour. And we have Shaney Starr with us. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah.
In the snow.
In the snow. Well, luckily you didn't have to travel far because you're not too far from here, your offices.
About a hot 30 seconds.
So you walked here then.
All right, so let's get to know Shaney Starr a little bit, and we're going to dive into what court-appointed special advocates are, why they're needed, and how they impact children in our community, and why we have an unfortunate need for them. It is incredible. It really is incredible what these volunteers do. But so, Shaney, you've been in Salem for a while. I think I first met you. You're working on a political campaign a decade ago.
Just about, yep.
Wow. So since then, you've had a couple different roles, but I know you've been involved, obviously, in a political campaigns here in the community. You've been involved in helping some nonprofit efforts and some philanthropy, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So all good training ground to go in and take a leadership role for a nonprofit.
Absolutely.
So you're the executive director.
Yes.
That means the buck stops with you. Everything.
Yes, it does.
Whether or not it works or not is all on Shaney.
Good and bad.
Okay. I love your name, though, by the way.
Thank you.
That all the time. Her name is Shaney Starr. That is so awesome. You could be a pop star.
I mean, what's superstar.
Yes. Superhero.
She is a superhero.
Well, she's a superhero to a lot of kids in the town. All right. So CASA of Marion County. It's 501c3. So it's nonprofit. What is a CASA? And Marion County is just one county of every county that has one? Or do they all have one?
So no. Lake County down in Southern Oregon currently does not have a functioning CASA program. There are 23 programs throughout the state that serve the remaining 35 counties. So, and we have one, what we in the CASA world call a tribal program with the Grand Ronde tribe. So.
Oh, really? So you have an agreement with Grand Ronde?
So they have their own program that they operate, but they're one of the 23. So,
all right. So let's explain this really lightly before we dive deep and explain, because I hate to talk in acronyms sometimes. So a court-appointed special advocate is basically a volunteer that's going to advocate for a child that needs representation at a court proceeding. Is that correct?
At a very high level, yes.
That's the big picture.
That's the big 30,000 foot view picture, yes.
All right. We're going to have to bring that down. But really, that's what it is. We have volunteers for children that for some reason need their own advocate and don't have an advocate, perhaps with the family, perhaps through the state, and needs a volunteer. And that volunteer goes to court but is not an attorney, right?
Correct. We are not attorneys. We are, however, legal parties to all of the dependency. So all of the cases that come through DHS's child welfare, and when DHS is awarded custody of the children, we are made a legal party to that case. So while we're not attorneys, we actually enjoy the status as a legal party. So we have access to all of the discovery, have access to all of the parties in the case, and we actually report directly back to the court. So,
wow. So like a friend of the court kind of status.
Correct.
Where did CASA come from?
So back in 1977, just a few miles north of here in Seattle, a judge by the name of David Soucoup was hearing, same as we do today, hearing all of these cases about children that were in foster care. And he was being asked to make some pretty heavy decisions about their future and their well-being. And he realized that he didn't have all of the information that he wanted, nor that he needed to feel like he was making the best decision for the children. So he thought about it and he thought, well, if I could teach some people in the community what it was I needed or wanted to know about these children's lives and what was going on when they're not in the courtroom, I would feel like I could make a better educated decision. So that's exactly what he did. He got a group of people together, taught them what he wanted to know, and hence the CASA program was born.
Wow. Yeah. So some advocacy from the bench.
From the bench.
But
that's
on his own,
amazing.
On the side.
That's pretty cool.
Creating something. Yeah. Yeah, what a heavy thing it must be to make decisions like that about a child who is in need and life is compromised. We're going to make decisions based on how that child's going to live with my decisions.
I wouldn't want to be a judge for
and
that.
And I don't have a full set of facts.
Yeah, no thanks.
I don't have anybody maybe that's been in the house.
No.
Wow. That's incredible. You knew that right off the tip of your tongue, like you've told that story before.
A couple times.
Okay. So that happened in Washington in 1977. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. So before you were born.
Not quite before I was born, but really, really close.
He was giving you a good compliment.
Yes. Okay. So CASA was born. That's Washington State. How far has it reached now? Obviously, it's in the bulk of Oregon.
Yes. And then across the country, it's in 49 states.
Wow. What an incredible legacy.
Yeah.
I want to found something and be that significant.
It was pretty awesome. I had an opportunity in 2017 to hear Judge Soucoup speak at the National CASA Conference at 40th anniversary in Seattle, Washington. And it was such a surreal experience to be amongst CASA program directors from across the country and to hear the man, you know, inspiring us and still motivating us that our job isn't done. We still have more to do. I would love to know what it was like for him to be up there and looking out on all of the people that took his vision and are taking his vision and working to serve every child. It was pretty awe-inspiring.
Wow. We're talking to Shani Starr. She's executive director of Marion County's court-appointed special advocates, which is commonly known as CASA. You've been there a few years now.
Let's get to know her after the break.
Okay. After the break?
Yeah, after the break. I want to dedicate there. All the time.
And I want to hear about the kids and how their lives are impacted. All right, we're going to take a quick break.
Sounds great.
All right, you're listening to Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. And in our studios today, our guest is Shani Starr. And Shani is the executive director of CASA of Marion County. We're just getting before the break. How did you get to lead this? How did it get on your radar? And how did you find a passion to do this?
So I think my passion for children and what I would call underserved populations has always been burning. I personally grew up in abject poverty and just had some tough circumstances in growing up. And so I've always had a heart for serving and working alongside underserved populations. And when this opportunity and actually the need arose, I jumped at it.
Oh, that's because there was a vacancy in the position. And
correct.
Okay. You said, well, I've got some roots now in this community. I want to make a difference, and I would like to take the reins here. Okay. So let's talk a bit about the organization now. Let's explain to people what it is and what you do. So it's obviously a nonprofit. You're advocating for children that need it in court proceedings. Are all of those kids in the DHS system?
Correct. We have about 600 children in Marion County alone that are in custody of DHS and considered to be in foster care.
So how many?
About 600. And the number changes every day. We have kids coming in every day and cases closing every day. So the number fluctuates, but we sit right at about a 600 number.
And what closes a case?
It could be any number
adoption
of things. It could be adoption. It could be a guardianship. It could be
reaching maturity.
Yeah, what we call transitioning out, where they reach legal age that they can transition out. The other one is being reunited with their family, which is the ultimate goal. We mm-hmm. want our children to be living in a healthy, safe environment with their parents.
Okay. Give us an example of why a kid would need a CASA.
Well, we typically look at it as there's been allegations of abuse and neglect, and their safety and well-being is in question. And that can be from any number of things. A lot of times we find mental health issues, homelessness, substance abuse, addiction issues. Those are all pretty much, they play into it.
Okay, so maybe in the house, maybe the home, mm-hmm. right? Or mm-hmm. it's a broken home, or mm-hmm. maybe it's incarceration, or maybe there's some addiction issues, but the child is perhaps not in a safe environment.
Correct.
And they don't have people that can make great decisions for them.
Correct.
Or maybe the decisions... how do I put that delicately? The decisions that have to be made on behalf of the child for the child's welfare may be the opposite that a parent might make.
Correct.
That's heavy.
It is.
That is
tough.
That is a tough thing to mm-hmm. be in that position. All right. So, well, I get the impression that this is one of those institutions that has a few staff people and a lot more volunteers than staff.
That is the absolute truth. So we are right now sitting at about 160 volunteers, and we have 6 staff, and we're hiring for another position. We just had an internal promotion, so we need to do a backfill so that we can keep serving our kids. We got grant funding to hire another position to help do volunteer recruitment and also to staff, be a staff person overseeing our advocate volunteers. So
wow. All right. So how many volunteers do you have?
About 160. We just were in our largest class.
Mm-hmm. But they handle 600 kids, right?
Right. So kind of getting in, you know, kind of into the technical stuff. But so our program is appointed to every time there's what we call a shelter hearing, and that's where the children have been removed from the home. They have to go to court the very next court day and prove or make their case about why they were removed from the home. And at that point, if the court grants DHS's request to keep the children in care, in custody, in their custody, we are, as an organization, are appointed as a legal party to that case. So technically, wow. We're appointed to every case that comes in. Sometimes those cases are settled and dismissed, sometimes in a fairly rapid fashion. sometimes they can go on for a while.
All right. This can be a delicate question, but you can handle it, Shani Starr, because you're tough. In that regard, does CASA of Marin County kind of an oversight of the program that DHS is running? Because they're, you know, it's, DHS wants to control the kids' lives. They're the ones removed them from the home, mm-hmm. but they're not the ones going to represent that kid and their interests in court. So is that a second advocate? Is it a parallel path? Is it an oversight path?
All of the above. So our role is not necessarily to supervise and oversee the work of DHS. Rather, what our role is to ensure and report back to the court that the child is receiving all of the services that they should be receiving, that they have, and that they're given access to the services that they need, that they're getting their visitation time if that's something that's been ordered or is an opportunity for the parents to visit. And we want our parents to be visiting with their kids, so we need to make sure those, you know, those, ensure those are happening. So I don't really like to look at it as an oversight of DHS. Rather, I like to look at our role as a CASA volunteer as somebody who is a neutral, unbiased party whose sole responsibility is to look out for and advocate for the child's best interests. Everybody that is involved in the child's life, other than the CASA, is paid. So the DHS workers paid, their attorney, which is an AAG from the Department of Justice, is paid. The parents, what we call the bio parents, so the biological parents, they each have an attorney, and their attorneys are paid. The child even has an attorney appointed to them by the court, and that attorney is paid. And so who at that table are going back and forth and discussing what's best for the child. Mm-hmm. Everybody there is paid to represent their client's best interest and what the client wants. So the only person at that table who, in theory, and what we train to do is neutral and biased, is the CASA. Mm-hmm. They're volunteering their time to be there because they believe that that child deserves every chance to thrive and deserves to have a voice.
Because the parent's attorney, they're there to represent the parent's interest. And they could be saying, we want this child, we
Absolutely.
Want it out of state custody, and this is why it should happen. That you need a neutral party that says, this is why it's not ready to happen yet, because do the volunteers go into the home and interview the parents?
They do. So we ask our volunteers, and we provide about 35 hours of training to our volunteers before we ever give them a case. So I don't want people to think that we just bring people in and then send them back out. So we put them through a very thorough vetting process. They have to go through, we ask them to come to an orientation so they can understand what's going to be expected of them and the time commitment. Then we ask them to submit references, fill out an application, go through a pre-service interview. They get fingerprinted, a thorough background check to include a child abuse registry check. And once all of that comes through and they complete the 35 hours of training, which includes in-person, online, observing various court hearings, then they get sworn in. And they get sworn in by the judge. So they take an oath that the judge administers. And then they do, before they get a case, they go through a post-training interview. And then they are assigned a case. So it's a pretty lengthy process.
So I'm a volunteer, say, and I've been assigned a case. How long am I on that case? How long am I with that child as their advocate?
So we ask every volunteer to commit to at least 2 years. And we ask for that time frame because we want the CASA volunteer to be that one stable, consistent adult in that child's life. And if we're honest and frank, DHS caseworkers change frequently. They might move foster placements. And so the one person that's the consistent oftentimes is the CASA volunteer.
Wow. So what's your longest standing volunteer?
10 years.
Ten
that's impressive.
Years.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that you?
Do you occasionally go and sit and review these CASA volunteers, like in court?
Yes. Every once in a while, and I typically don't. I have one case now two that I'm going to carry and supervise CASA volunteers. Sometimes the cases can elevate are elevated to the level where they're covered by the news outlets and media outlets. Yeah. They contain some sensitive situations, and so those typically are ones that I will handle. So very rare that happens, but so I have two now that I'm taking care of. But otherwise, every once in a while, if there's a, let's just say, a challenging issue amongst the parties in the case, I might go just to observe and kind of see what I can glean and if we can figure it out.
Wow. Again, I can't believe you have 160 volunteers. That's right. Amazing. And how much they have to go through just to help a child, mm-hmm. or a series of children. Does a volunteer, now it must vary in terms of somebody has more time than other people. How many hours a week would a volunteer typically put in?
So we,
and if tag on that, how many kids cases would they work on at the same time?
So we try to encourage people, especially new volunteers, to take one case. And sometimes those cases won't just be one child. They'll be what we call a sibling unit. So they might have two or three or more kids on a case. But we encourage our new volunteers to usually have one case at a time. And just depending on, you know, kind of the complexities of the case, we say 8 to 10 hours a month. The caveat is when it's a brand new case and you've got reams of discovery, it might be a few more hours up front, but typically 8 to 10 hours.
That's not too bad.
Wow. Okay. So again, I'm thinking all sorts of situations where you're going to go into a volatile situation that might even feel heated at places and very, very emotional, and you're supposed to be the rational one.
Right.
And then you get attached, and then you're expected to walk away. Mm. Right? That is a court-appointed special advocate. So we're with Shani Starrs. She's executive director of the CASA from Marion County. We're talking a little bit more about how this process plays out and what you can do to help. Stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This portion of Newsmakers proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne and our guest in studio, Shani Starr, CASA of Marion County Executive Director. I find this fascinating, and I'm so glad you're here, and I'm actually really glad that you're at CASA.
Thank you.
So you only have like a handful of people that even work there, right? You were saying, and you have some openings coming up. Where does the money come from for the organization to do this role?
So
please tell me it doesn't come from DHS's budget.
No, it does not. We are mandated by state statute. So there is ORS 419B.112 tells us that every child shall be appointed a CASA. So we are essentially an unfunded mandate. We as an organization personally get about 12 to 15% of our budget every biennium from the state of Oregon. So that remaining 88% needs to be raised via grant funding, fundraising events, and donor support. Writing us donations, right? So that's a pretty heavy lift. But I think our community in the last 3 years has really recognized that the children that we're serving are number one, they're our most vulnerable children. But number two, they're our children. They're our community's children. They're not simply children who, through no fault of their own, they're in foster care. And so our community has really stepped up and recognized that it's our responsibility to come alongside and to help support CASA, who's working to get these kids in safe, permanent homes where they have every opportunity to thrive.
Wow, so many things to answer here. So this might be an emergency situation where a child is just taken from a home mm-hmm. and maybe the first court proceedings and they get assigned a CASA volunteer, right? Mm-hmm. And then they go through a process of hearings and determinations and so on and so forth. And then the CASA volunteer obviously is going to be talking to DHS mm-hmm. and maybe the parents. What partners? Are there like partnerships in the community like Liberty House?
Sure.
Or?
So we ask our CASA and we train our CASA volunteers to really what we call investigate the case. So we want them talking to and interviewing the child. The biological parents or parents, the foster parents, various family members, maybe teachers, counselors, medical providers.
Wow. But they're not attorneys.
They're
Your
not
volunteers
attorneys.
Are not
they're
attorneys.
Volunteers who love children.
Wow. And so ultimately, they're going to give a recommendation to the court. And what kind of recommendations are there in their options?
Sure. So, there's not really a box from which they need to operate. They can make recommendations anywhere from we think that the plan should remain return to parent or reunification, but maybe not right now. But they can recommend that maybe parents participate in some, you know, parenting classes, or we put some wraparound supports around the parents in home visiting, mm-hmm. in home parenting skills teaching, so that we know those children are going to be safe when they're returned home. We might recommend that maybe they continue their treatment for substance abuse a little bit longer
before anger management.
So there's just a variety of things that our CASAs can recommend. One of the things that they often look at if the child is school age is how are they doing in school. They can offer or they can recommend that the court to the court that various educational supports be put into place if necessary. So maybe what we call individual education plans or some extra tutoring in math or reading or writing. It really can just run the gamut, whatever our CASAs feel based on their interviews, their review of all the pertinent materials, whatever they feel or think will help that child thrive.
Well, so we're talking about kids at ages 0 to age 18. Potentially some of them might be recommended to stay with other family members and
sure.
any of those things.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, we can recommend various placement. Maybe they go live with Aunt Susie or Uncle Joe mm-hmm. or they, you know, or they be placed in non-relative, stay in non-relative care.
I'm going to back up here about five minutes. Sorry, I should have stuck with this. So your money, it's only 12 to 15% coming from the state. The rest is grant money and donations and fundraisers, mm-hmm. right? So I want to make sure we hit this right now so we can do it more than once during the hour, is you've got events coming up, and how do people find out about the event and participate?
Sure. So the best way to stay up to date is to follow along on our Facebook page, Marion CASA of Marion County, Oregon. And I will tell you, it's really important to get that Oregon in there. There is another Marion County in the country.
Their berries are not as good as ours.
Well, that is true. Okay. Yes, we do hold that.
And just because our listener does reach into Polk County would have a different webpage, different Facebook page.
They do.
Page.
Yep. They okay. have their own program.
All right. So Facebook page for CASA of Marion
Facebook
County,
page,
Oregon.
Yep. And we have two fundraising events coming up. The first one is on April 27th. And we think that every child deserves a superhero. So we have a superhero race. And we want people to come and dress up and show all of our children that they deserve their own superhero. And I would love nothing more than to have a superhero for every child in care and have our event hit 600 people. I think that'd be
wow.
a really awesome thing for kids to see. And then the very next weekend, to kick off Foster Care Awareness Month, we are holding an event at the Elsinore Theater featuring Antoine Fisher, who was the subject of the movie that Denzel Washington starred in and directed. It was his first directorial debut, I believe. And so Antoine Fisher grew up in foster care as the as the movie shows.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's really cool. All right, we're going to talk about that. We'll hit that up again before the end of the hour. But yeah, we'll have to dress up as superheroes and come and run. Now, it is April 27th, that event.
Yes.
So it won't be snowing at that time.
Nope, it won't be snowing, but as you know, it is Oregon, so.
You never know.
Bring your raincoat. Okay,
so these incredible people, they go through all the background checks and all the training and all the time to do something really emotional. Mm-hmm. You have 160 of them. How many could you use?
So we need about 200.
We need about
200. And 200 for us is the magic number because we are held to 54 pages of single space type standards from National CASA Association. And one of those standards, and read them all. One of those standards is a staffing ratio. And so we have to meet we can have a certain number of cases per volunteer and so many cases per advocate coordinator, which is our program staff. And so in order to serve all of the children, we need 200 volunteers.
All right. Who volunteers? What walks of life do these people come from?
People like you. So
you got an extra time, Brent? Come on.
So, you know, really it's anyone.
You say that to all the guys.
I do. Okay. Every single one of them. Volunteers can be people who work full time. They work part time. Maybe their employers allow them to flex their time when they need to attend a court hearing during the workday. A lot of the work can be done on the weekend when they're going to see the kiddo. Or the kiddos, a lot of the reading of discovery and reports can be done, you know, doesn't need to be done during the workday. But also a lot of people who maybe are retired, retired teachers, retired law enforcement professionals. We have retired business people. It really runs the gamut.
A household where one spouse is not in the workforce.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. We have several people who don't work. They don't, you know, so they are blessed with the ability to give time. So it really runs the gamut.
The gift of time. So we were talking about this at the break. I want to touch on this because I'm trying to picture myself doing this. And some people have certain skills and some people don't. And I think I'd fall into that. I don't have this skill. I would have I wouldn't have a lot of patience with anybody who I didn't think was acting in the kids' best interest. Yeah. Right. So all walks of life, both male and female, right? Mm-hmm. Some younger, some retired.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. So here's the picture. You go in and you get to know this child, and you're there because you have passion and love for the child, and you want to see work, and you're looking after their best interest, and you're going to court for them, and you're learning their whole story. And then you have to close the case at some point. And is it always a clean break?
Sometimes, but not always. You know, we have volunteers who because of the way the case went, grew particularly close to the children and maybe the adoptive placement or even the biological parents. And so once the case is closed, it's not unusual for the children to, for a period of time after that case is closed, for the child to remain connected to their volunteer, not in a CASA capacity, but mm-hmm. just as somebody that they knew for several years.
They could transition to being a big brother, big sister role.
Sure.
Kind of, yeah.
Hey, that mm-hmm. would be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
That is, especially if you know there's a relationship there with the people that have custody of the kids.
Mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely.
All right. We're going to come back here in a minute. I do have a question about, is this a often antagonistic role with the bio parents and how that works out? So we're talking to Shani Starr from CASA of Marion County, court-appointed special advocates. What an incredible thing they do. So stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and we have got a fabulous guest in here today, Shani Starr of CASA of Marion County. And I just want to make sure that we are clear that other counties have CASAs, court-appointed special advocates, and their programs, their nonprofits in each county. Shani, thanks again for being here. Is there a statewide organization that you have, an umbrella organization at all?
Yes. So we're members of the Oregon CASA Network, and then we're also members of the National CASA Association. And National CASA is the one who sets out all of the standards that our programs abide by. And I have the privilege of being selected and appointed to serve as chair of a Suburban Leadership Council, which is a nationwide council that works with all of the suburban type programs, and then also was just recently appointed to sit on the National Leadership Council for CASA and work with their national board.
So. Wow.
So you have no time left, Nick.
She's in the deep end.
And we're lucky to have you for an hour.
Off the deep end.
Wow.
That is fabulous. And we're going to have this person who is in demand nationwide to speak to this and inspire and challenge other CASAs across the nation.
There you go.
Right here in Marion County. Right?
That's right.
All right. So let's go back to the partners. Because if I'm a CASA volunteer, you're talking to the children. We talked about all that, the foster placement parents, the bio parents, where they came from, family members, attorneys, all of these people that they talk, teachers. And obviously they're intersecting with DHS and the Marion County foster parents. What's the situation with foster parents in the county? I mean, do we have an adequate supply? And that's a dumb question.
No, she's shaking her head.
Of course, there cannot be enough.
Yeah.
How dire is it, and what do we really need versus what do we have?
So, I am not one to subscribe to being dramatic, but I would say I would say that our level of certified foster homes is it's at a crisis level. And we need more. We continue week after week asking our current place certified foster homes to take more and more kids. And our system is broken, sadly. And we need more people who are willing to open their homes and their hearts to these kids who have just suffered horrid abuse and neglect, and really, you know, help walk alongside CASA in helping these kids on a journey to healing.
Did she have to say horrid abuse and neglect?
Why,
I think we
right?
need to. We've been kind of skirting that issue, but we were all talking about it's a home situation that the authorities feel it's necessary to move the child. So it could be physical abuse. It could be neglect in feeding the child. Or
sexual abuse.
Sexual abuse.
It's not.
Starvation at times.
Yeah. Nobody likes to talk about it, but the reality is we're talking about the abuse and neglect of an innocent child. And it's not a subject. It's not a fun subject to talk about, but it's a reality that exists in our world. And we as a community need to rise up and link arms and say, what can we do? We need to help.
I think it's clear that DHS does not have the resources they would need to do all this role. Is that fair to say?
I would say that the child welfare system in Oregon is broken. I would say it didn't become broken overnight. And clearly the solutions to fix the broken system are not going to come overnight. And so in the meantime, we need programs like CASA to come alongside and be a voice for these children and advocate for what these children need.
All right. This seems like a great idea, a great time to say, how can people help?
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, you can participate in the events, or you can just become a donor, a regular donor, a one-time donor. If your heart is, your heart and your life permits it, you could become a volunteer.
Absolutely.
Right.
We need everybody, right. Because there are children, and everybody can play a role in some way of coming alongside and taking care of these children, whether it's by becoming a CASA volunteer, donating to CASA, maybe even considering becoming a foster, a certified foster home, foster parents, we need people to come to the DHS office and sit and hang out with the kids while they're waiting to find a placement. It sounds so simple, but it's such a difficult, there's so many pieces to what we need to make this system better.
Yeah. The need
just
is great.
Call me. I will talk to you. I'll take you to coffee. Just call me.
The need. Oh, we'll put out Shani Starr's cell number, and that's at the Casa Marin County office, by the way. And you know what? I'll take this opportunity to shout out to my cousin and his wife. Sometimes we share, Dave and I share family stories, but I've got a cousin and his wife. They live in Tennessee, and they decided, and they're at that stage where their kids are either in college or coming out of college, and they have just become an emergency relief foster home.
So wow. Important. So they're so important.
I mean, when a child is, let's say a police officer goes on a call, and mm-hmm. maybe it's in the middle of the night, and a child is deemed to be an unsafe environment, takes out, what do you do with that child? Have them sit in the police station? Do you have them sit in a DHS office overnight? Do you get them a hotel room? Or anyway, they said, we'll do that. You can bring them to our house 24 hours a day, and we'll take care of those.
That's important.
Until they transition to a caseworker and transition to a more settled foster care.
We need those types of homes as well. We need people who are willing to provide respite care for our foster parents, which is just to give them a break so they can go away for a weekend, or they can go to the grocery store. I mean, things that you and I take for mm-hmm. granted, we need help to come around and preserve the foster homes that we have.
There is a program in town that was founded by some members of my congregation that I belong to that is called Foster Parent Night Out. And it started at the congregation and kind of grew. But that's exactly what you're talking about. Those foster parents that have taken this upon themselves and they need some semblance of real life. If it's going to the movies or just getting errands done, get the foster parent night out where they take care of the kids. Right.
That's right.
All right. Holy cow. So anybody could volunteer if they have a big heart and a little bit of time. I imagine the time that they invested is larger on the front end.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the training and what have you. But then it could be as little as 6 to 8 hours a month.
Yeah, we try to say 8 to 10 hours a month. And what I say to people is, remember, you are coming into this child's life after the abuse and neglect has happened, and you're part of their journey to healing. And you might not see the impact of your time next week or next month, but that child is going to remember you for years to come.
Yeah,
indeed. The rest of their life. The rest of their life,
absolutely.
Probably.
Impactful.
Unless they're, you know, newborns. And we are talking about people who are 0 to people who are 18. Incredible. All right, let's hit this before we run out of time again.
Yeah, you had one event on April 27. What was the second event?
Superheroes for Children.
Right, so dress up, wear your capes. And then the second event is on May 3rd at the Elsinore. It's called our Light of Hope event, and we're bringing in Antoine Fisher of the Denzel Washington movie.
Right. Oh, and that'll be at the Elsinore Theater. And that'll be an opportunity, obviously, to hear a great speaker and support the cause.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. The two things that you said that were really, really impactful for me today is severe neglect and abuse. A child who's been victim of severe neglect and abuse, and that the needs are great and the resources are few. And it's going to stick with me. And I know I'm going to talk about other shows. Shani Starr said it's broken.
Mm-hmm.
Our system to take care of these children in Oregon is broken. It was broken. It didn't get broken overnight, and it's not going to get fixed overnight. Although I think we could probably use a little bit more leadership in this regard.
Absolutely.
Shani, thank you for being here. Thank you what you do for the community. This is Brent DeHart.
Facebook page real quick.
Casa of Marion County, Oregon.
There you go. You can find them. Brent for Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.